Welcome to this podcast for the months of January and February. These are typically the coldest months in South Wales, but drier than November and December, so we can hope for some clear, although chilly nights. Typically 5 or 6 nights a month at this time of year have air frosts, so make sure you are really well wrapped up. The winter stars in this part of the world are a true delight. They all seem to be brighter, more colourful and more twinkling than at any other time of the year. At this time of year, you're actually looking out along the Orion arm of the galaxy, and that has a number of relatively close stars and is home to some spectacular constellations. The Orion arm is part of the spiral structure of the Milky Way and is some 10,000 light-years in length and around 3,500 light-years wide. It's also home to our own solar system. As usual, we will start our observing this evening facing south. In this podcast, we're going to concentrate on the magnificent constellation of Orion. At around 10 p.m. in mid-January and 8 p.m. in mid-February, as you look up, you can't fail to spot it. Other than the plough, this must be one of the most well-known and easily recognised asterisms in the sky. It has a very ancient history. It was certainly important to the ancient Egyptians as the god Saar. It's also been found carved on mammoth tusks from Germany that are possibly 38,000 years old and was revered by the Babylonians in the late Bronze Age. For those not familiar with it, Orion consists of 4 main bright stars that form a large, slightly bent, vertical rectangle with 3 stars in a line near the centre of the rectangle. Before we get into the detail, it's worth taking a moment to stand back and simply admire the majesty and beauty of this large constellation, with what is an unrivalled collection of bright, colourful and beautiful stars, and, as we shall soon learn, a lot more besides. Orion presents an excellent opportunity to see stars from their birth, through their prime, to their final demise, and even beyond. The first thing you'll likely see is Orion's belt. This is represented by 3 stars almost in a line near the centre of the constellation. Their names, as with many other stars, come from the Arabic language. From left to right, they are called Al-Nitak, meaning the girdle, Al-Nilam, meaning a string of pearls, and Mintaka, which means the belt. These 3 stars are all much more massive than the Sun, and also 5 or 6 times hotter, hence their bluish colour. As they are heavier and hotter than our own Sun, they will evolve much faster, with a lifetime of only tens of millions of years compared to around 10 billion years for our Sun. They are all relatively distant as well, between about 700 and 2,000 light years away. The fact that they are so easy to see is because they are so bright. Al-Nilam, for example, is thought to be up to 500,000 times brighter than the Sun. If our own Sun was at the same distance from Earth as these stars, you'd need quite a large telescope just to see it. Now look to the top left of Orion. You cannot miss the orange-red star Betelgeuse. Its name comes again from an Arabic expression, Ibn al-Jawza, meaning the shoulder or hand of the giant. This star is, to our eyes, only about the 10th brightest star in the sky. But that's because a lot of its light is not in the visible part that we can see, but in infrared, the bit of the spectrum beyond the visible deep red. So animals that can see near infrared, such as snakes, may see it as the brightest star. Betelgeuse is enormous. It's in the last stages of its life, and it's swelled up to the size almost the diameter of the orbit of Jupiter. It's what astronomers call a red supergiant. It's only around 11 times heavier than the Sun, but its present radius is up to 1,000 times greater, and it's around 100,000 times brighter. It's so big, it's one of the few stars that astronomers have been able to photograph as a disk with their giant telescopes. Betelgeuse varies in brightness, and at the end of 2019, it became noticeably much dimmer. This is generally attributed to the star emitting an enormous dust cloud that partly obscured its disk as seen from Earth. This just demonstrates how unstable the star is at the end of its life. Nobody knows when Betelgeuse will finally die, but it may only be a matter of thousands or tens of thousands of years. What we do know is that because of its large mass, the star will eventually explode as a supernova, and when that happens, it will likely be as bright as the full moon, and visible during the day. At 700 light-years distance, it's very unlikely to be a threat to life on Earth, but it will be a spectacular display. We're now going to look at the bottom right-hand corner of the constellation, to the very bright bluish star. This is Rigel, and the brightest star in Orion. It also has a name from Arabic, meaning left foot of Orion. It too is massive and huge, around 20 times heavier than the Sun, 70 times larger and well over 100,000 times as bright. Its blue colour comes from its surface temperature of about 12,000 degrees Celsius, well over twice the surface temperature of our Sun. Believe it or not, it's cooled to this temperature from around 30,000 degrees Celsius in its heyday. Rigel is actually part of a multi-star system. A companion star can just be observed in amateur telescopes, and that second star has also been found to be a double star. Like Betelgeuse, Rigel is due to end its days as a supernova and may leave behind a black hole or a neutron star. At a distance of about 860 light-years, the Earth will have a ringside view when the star does explode. The third brightest star in Orion is the one in the top right corner, called Bellatrix. It gets its name from Latin, meaning a female warrior. It's almost 9 times heavier than the Sun, 6 times larger, and around 4 times hotter, which accounts for its bluish-white colour. It's also a mature star, but how it will end its days are a bit uncertain, but it is a borderline supernova candidate. The last star in Orion Quadrangle is the one on the lower left, known as Saif. It gets its name again from the Arabic Saif al-Jabr, which means the sword of the giant. Believe it or not, this is another supergiant and a potential supernova with a mass of some 15 times that of the Sun. Astronomers believe that for a star to be a supernova candidate, it needs to have a mass of at least 8 to 15 times that of the Sun. Saif is around 56,000 times brighter than the Sun, but at 650 light-years away, it's only the sixth brightest star in the constellation. From what we've looked at in Orion, you may be thinking that there's a lot of stars are massive and destined to become supernovae. In fact, only around 1% of all stars are estimated to be more than 8 times more massive than the Sun, so they're pretty rare. Of course, they're also very bright, which is why we can see them so easily. Smaller and dimmer stars are either much less obvious or just not visible by eye, although there are a lot of them. As if Orion having more than its fair share of mature supergiants getting ready to explode a supernova were not enough, the constellation also has one of the finest star nurseries in the sky. To find it, move your eye back to the three stars that form the belt. Now look down below the middle one, and you should see what looks like a couple of stars with a hazy patch in the middle. It makes up the sword hanging from the Hunter's belt. What you are looking at is the Orion Nebula. In fact, the constellation of Orion is completely surrounded by one of the most active star-forming regions in the night sky, called the Orion Molecular Cloud Complex. Many of the nebulae require photography or telescope to see them, but the Orion Nebula is visible to the naked eye and wonderful in binoculars and telescopes. A molecular cloud is part of the galaxy that contains vast amounts of gas and dust. When such clouds get very cold, they can start to form clumps. As these grow, gravity eventually takes over and they become more and more compressed and hotter, eventually these clumps form into clusters of stars. If you have binoculars, look at the nebulae through them. You should be able to see swirls of light and darker patches. In fact, the nebula is quite brightly coloured, but the human eye is not sensitive enough to see the colours, even in a big telescope. The swirls are clouds of gas and dust, and they're being sculpted by the radiation from newly formed stars, and the darker areas are dust left over from long dead stars. In a telescope, you'll be able to see the small stars embedded in the clouds. These are all very young stars, less than 12 million years old. Put it another way, our own Sun is about halfway through its life, and is about 4.5 billion years old. In human terms, that would be, let's say, about 40 years old. On that time scale, the stars in the Orion Nebula are only 5-week-old babies. The nebula is one of the most intensively studied regions of the sky, and it's helped astronomers understand how stars and planets are formed. It was also the first nebula to be photographed in 1880 and still a firm favourite for imaging by amateurs, as its size and complexity is unrivalled. The Orion Nebula is about 1300 light-years away from us and about 24 light-years across. You're looking at the nebula as it was in the early Middle Ages. Anglo-Saxon Britain was just starting to adopt the Christian religion, and Islam was recently founded and growing in the Middle East. You may often see the Orion Nebula referred to as M42. This is its number in a catalogue of such objects produced by a French astronomer, Charles Messier, in the late 18th century. So in Orion we can see the whole life cycle of stars being played out, from their birth, their prime, and finally the end of their life, only to be reborn again in the resulting nebulae. It's a majestic and fascinating constellation, and a favourite feature of the winter sky. While looking at Orion, you can't fail to notice a very bright star blazing away to the lower left, or southeast. This is the brightest star that can be seen from Earth, and is called Sirius. In fact, its name comes from the Greek for scorching. Notice how it flashes rainbow colours, an effect accentuated if you look at it through binoculars or a telescope. You can exaggerate the effect even more if you slightly defocus the instrument. Sirius appears to show this effect much more than other stars, simply because of its brightness and the fact that in the high latitude of Britain, the star appears close to the horizon. The flashing, or scintillation as it's called, is caused by the starlight passing through a thick, shimmering part of the atmosphere that diffracts it in the same way that prisms in a chandelier do. Sirius is not only a very bright star, it's 25 times more luminous than the Sun, but it's also quite close at just over 8 light years. Like many stars, Sirius is part of a multiple system, and amateur telescopes can just show its close tiny companion, which is a white dwarf. A white dwarf is the dead remains of a star that was, at one time, a red giant, but shed its outer layers to leave behind the tiny, white-hot, glowing remains. Sirius is in the constellation of the Greater Dog, or Canis Major. The constellation itself is very low from Britain and not very conspicuous, but has led to Sirius sometimes being called the Dog Star, and its little companion, the Pup. Sirius has had huge historical importance. Owing to its astronomical position, it accurately marks the calendar years when it rises just before dawn. This was known to the ancient Egyptians, where it happens each 19th of July and marked the onset of the flooding of the River Nile. It was worshipped as a god for producing fertility in the land. The Greeks, noticing the coloured flashing, which is more pronounced in certain weather conditions, thought they represented emanations that affected people's mood. They were said to be starstruck, and the season following its appearance became known as Dog Days. In this podcast, we've seen how stars are born from nebulae, live out their days and eventually die, which in the case of many of the massive visible stars in Orion is likely to be a supernovae. The big heavy stars run in the fast lane, their lives are super hot, short and eventually violent. They're unlikely to develop life forms on their planets, as there just isn't time. It sort of helps us to appreciate our wonderful, peaceful and pedestrian sun that makes such a good job of supporting life on Earth. Thanks for listening and keep looking up.
This project has received funding by the Regional Tourism Engagement Fund and supported through the Welsh Government Rural Communities Rural Development Programme 2014-2020, which is funded by the European Agricultural Fund for Rural Development and the Welsh Government. The fund to improve the visitor experience and create stronger destinations by working together.